What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. The Dubs are taking on the Rockets in Game 5 tonight in Oakland. Series is tied up 2-2. Going to give you a quick preview of that game. Also want to get to some of the things that have been said by Draymond, why he is actually excited to be in this position. KD has done a solid job on Harden. Going to break some of that down, too. All that's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily Golden State Warriors podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What up, everybody? Welcome into Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Got another good one for you today. But if you are looking for Locked On Warriors or any of the Locked On podcasts from the network, go ahead and tell your smart device to play Locked On Warriors or Locked On whatever team you like. We got the NBA, NFL, MLB, most of the big colleges. We got it all covered. So be sure to tell your smart device to play Locked On Warriors especially. The Warriors are taking on the Rockets tonight in Game 5 of the Western Conference Semifinals. After winning the first two at home, they lost the next two in Houston and are now playing pretty much a three-game series, with two of those games being played at Oracle, one of them being played in Houston, obviously. And as far as my preview goes for the game, you got to play with more energy. You got to play harder. You got to play more physical. You have to have energy on the boards. You have to be more physical on the boards. You have to box out. It's a lost art in today's NBA. But you have to box out. You have to keep PJ Tucker off the boards. Because here's the thing. Draymond Green, you're the quintessential small ball five. You made it cool and popular and all that stuff. You're getting beat by a 6'4 guy who you should not be getting beat by. Like, this is pride time now. This is, okay, you've checked me here. Now I need to come out and win this battle. Draymond's got to do it. KD being the by far the tallest man on the floor, he's got to do it. On top of his regular scoring load and on top of his defense as well, which has been solid. And we're going to get a little more specific on that in just a minute. Draymond was asked after game 4 on the need for increased physicality, increased energy, and his answer, one of the things he said is, we know the answer to our problem, and that's pretty exciting. That's my department to lead in, and I know I'll lead in that department. So I'm glad to hear him say it, and I think it's kind of funny, but also at the same time understandable. Like, you've pinpointed the problem, and now he can fix it, and he's excited about that. Here's the entire quote from Draymond on the topic. And this is Draymond. It's not about home court. I think our vibe is great because everyone is looking at each other. Knowing if we correct the effort things, we're just fine. Everybody's spirits up. We didn't feel this way after game 4 last year. Andre just went out. We spent game 4 trying to figure out who that fifth guy would be. There were so many questions that needed to be answered. Those questions aren't there this year. We know the answer to our problem. That's pretty exciting. That's my department to lead in, and I know I'll lead in that department. So comparing it to last year is understandable because they played the Rockets last year, and that series went 7 games, and they ended up being down 3-2 and having to force game 7. So hearing that from Draymond is a positive. Now can he do it? Now go out and make it happen. There were 3 things that hurt the Warriors in game 4. Effort and energy is one of them, but the way that that presented itself on the floor was rebounding. They got beat rebounding again, especially on the offensive boards. I think it was 8-13, which is closer, but man, against a team like the Rockets, you can't allow them to get extra shots, just in the same way you can't allow the Warriors to get extra shots, because they're potent enough to make you pay. PJ Tucker was huge in that department, as was Clint Capella. After two bad games, he's been better. He hasn't been huge difference maker or anything like that, but he's been better. So effort and energy, which for the most part presented itself in rebounding, which means you're going to have to box out. You're going to have to get to loose balls. That's the thing. A lot of loose balls, some of them just went right to the Rockets. And that, you know, if it goes straight to Chris Paul, not much you can do. But there can definitely be more effort on the boards, getting to loose balls. I wouldn't be surprised to see Draymond throwing his body around a bunch. And on top of that, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw some Jordan Bell. And I know it's crazy. He hasn't played all playoffs. He's basically buried on the bench. But Kevon Looney has been, he's been fine, but he's been getting beat a lot also. And so why not give Jordan Bell a shot to see what he can do? Now, Jordan Bell might get crushed also. But not only is it a different body to throw at Harden, Paul, etc., it's also maybe an energy boost. We know he's an energy guy. So I honestly wouldn't be surprised if we see a little Jordan Bell. I don't know if Steve Kerr will do it, but there's a chance. There's a chance. I'll put it that way. Now, you know what? Forget it. I'm going to double down. Jordan Bell's getting some playing time tomorrow, and he'll be all right. He'll be all right. So that's part of it. The other two things that went wrong were just bad games from Steph Curry and Klay Thompson. Steph, I know, did end with 30 points, but he went 4 of 14 from 3. Now, if we can get just a regular Steph game, if we got a regular Steph game in the last two games, this thing would have been a sweep. So that's one of the biggest things is, can the Splash Brothers get it together? Can they figure it out, get their shot back, and put some pressure on the Rockets? And if not, it's going to be tough. One, maybe two of the three things need to happen. Either both Steph and Klay need to go off, because that's the thing, even with the rebounding numbers, Warriors were still in it. So if the rebounding numbers still favor the Rockets like they have the last two games, I mean, hell, the Rockets got two in game three. The Rockets got 17 offensive rebounds to the Warriors 7. That thing went to overtime with Steph and Klay playing bad. So you either get good games from Steph and Klay and KD continues to play like KD, which I think we all imagine he will. So you get good games from all three of them, or you fix the rebounding and you get a good game from one of the Splash Brothers. So it's not dire straits right now. It's not that bad, but if Steph and Klay don't get it together, I don't know. I called Warriors in 5. Obviously, that's not going to happen. Wouldn't be surprised if they get it in 6. I would be a little shocked if it goes 7. If it goes 7, that honestly means that, you know, maybe none of these things got corrected or just one. But I have too much faith in Steph specifically that he'll get it going. Klay, you know, if you look at Klay's playoff numbers, they're not great. The thing is, he's great defensively, so you still get that aspect from him always. But his playoff numbers aren't great throughout his career, unless it's like a Game 6 elimination game. He is average in the playoffs, offensively. But I got too much faith in Steph that I wouldn't be surprised if this thing gets corrected and they turn it around and get some larger victories. Not these close ones we've seen throughout the first four games, some larger victories. But we will see. We will see. KD's done a good job on Harden. I actually want to talk about that a little deeper coming up next. Going to take one quick break, come back, talk about some of the specific matchups that we might see and some of the specific matchups that might favor the Warriors. That's coming up next here on Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. But first, I need to tell you that hiring people is hard. Or let me actually correct that. It used to be hard because now there's one place you can go where hiring people is simple, fast, and smart. A place where growing businesses get connected to qualified candidates. That place is ZipRecruiter.com/LockedOn. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards, but they don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply for your job. So you get less of the lying on the resumes. You get the people that actually fit. You know, you're not wasting your time with interviews that just aren't going to pan out. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one and spotlights the top candidates so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. That's within 24 hours, man. You post today, tomorrow, you might have found someone to fill that job. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That is ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. Go do it. ZipRecruiter, it's the smartest way to hire. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. Just did a little Game 5 preview of the Dubs and Rockets. Couple things I wanted to mention that I don't think I did during that last segment when it came to adjustments they can make. Steph, as I mentioned, was 12 of 25 from the field, 4 of 14 from 3, which, if you do the math, means he went 8 of 11 from not 3. And I think I did the math wrong on a podcast yesterday, but 8 of 11 from inside the arc. And he was driving, he was getting it done driving, and hopefully we'll see a little more of that. Because I do believe that that will open things up for Klay. Because if he continues to drive with that kind of success, they'll start crashing a little bit more. And that will open up things for Klay. Now, the question is whether the shot will start falling. Maybe some more open shots will allow it to. But, you know, we'll have to wait and see because he's even missed open shots. And he's also passed down some open shots. There was one sequence last night where he got a good look from three. PJ Tucker was in the vicinity. But basically, he turned down a lightly contested three to drive into three other people and take a mid-range jumper contested by three other people. So, decision-making, etc., we'll see. But bottom line, Steph driving more should open things up for everyone else. But at the same time, it will limit some of the bad threes he took because there were some bad ones. But once he was able to get his feet set and take a shot, not a rushed shot, not a heavily contested, you know, not one of his step back four crossovers, step back threes or anything like that. Once he had his feet set and was able to shoot, he was knocking them down. The problem is there was only a handful of them. So it's possible that that's an adjustment that we see. Another adjustment that we could see that I wouldn't be surprised if it happens is we might see Kevin Durant on James Harden a lot more than we have. And it's twofold because not only did Kevin Durant play well against James Harden, his length bothers him. KD is a great defender when motivated, and he's been motivated these playoffs, obviously, because it is the playoffs. But he's a good defender because of his length and his athleticism. And when he's on Harden, he's able to contest that step back three better, at least, than most because of his length. Where, you know, his crazy reach just works better than others. So I think that's something we'll see. And not only that, part of the other benefit is the fact that it keeps him off of PJ Tucker, which offensively doesn't matter. PJ Tucker, you know, as long as you cover him in the corner, you're pretty much fine. But it keeps him away from having the responsibility of battling him for rebounds because PJ Tucker is all physical, all contact, all battle. And KD is not. You know, KD doesn't like contact like that. He doesn't like to play physical like that. And he also can lose focus of his man when it comes to boxing out or anything like that. So not only would it help, obviously, him on Harden, but it helps that he wouldn't be on Tucker as much either. So that's something else to look for. Maybe we'll see more of it in the first half, see more of it right away. But definitely something to look for, something to keep an eye on. And one more reason as to why you might see KD on Harden more is because Andre Iguodala is a little banged up. He did hyperextend his knee late in the game when Chris Paul's dirty little self decided to undercut him on a rebound. And so Andre should be able to go, but we're waiting to see. Put it that way. By the way, here's a hot take. Chris Paul at this point in his career is just a less athletic Patrick Beverley. He's just there to get under your skin. Less athletic Patrick Beverley. Put that on wax. I said it. He's not good. He's a dirty little player. But that's another reason why you will see KD on Harden more, I'd expect. Steve Kerr, when they got back today got back yesterday from Houston, was asked about the team and the mood and how they are physically. And Steve said, the mood is good. This is the playoffs. This is what it's about. Our team has been here many times. We've been in much worse situations, being down in series, being on the road for game sevens. We've pretty much seen it all. This is just another chapter in the book. So Steve is taking it well. It seems like the whole team is. Physically, we'll see. But as far as mentally, they seem to be shoulder shrug, whatever. Let's just get out there and get after it. So, I mean, I wouldn't expect Steve to come out and be, oh, man, I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. But he's right. And even though I expected this team to wrap this thing up in five, after the first two games, I thought they could have done it in four. The bottom line is they've been here before and they've dealt with worse situations. You know, you can go all the way back to 2015. 2015. You know, being down to the Grizzlies, being down to the Cavs. Last year with Houston. They've been in worse situations, and they usually come out on top. So I'm with Steve. I'm not too worried. I do trust these guys. But, again, you would just much rather not be in this position at all. So we will have to wait and see what happens. One thing with the bench, as I'm kind of just rambling here, just trying to get everything out about tomorrow's game, the bench is bad. They're struggling. And that's why I do think we might see some Jordan Bell. Not just to see what he can do, and he'll have a very short leash, but I wouldn't be surprised if we also might, if the shooting is still cold, might see a Quinn Cook appearance. And again, he'll get attacked defensively almost immediately, and, you know, maybe you play him for one offensive possession, one defensive possession, they go at him, and then you decide you can't play him. But I wouldn't be surprised if we do see him for a second or two, just because you're getting nothing. Once you start Andre Iguodala, that takes away your best bench player. And he's not a Lou Williams. He's going to come out and give you 20 off the bench anyways. But now your bench players are Kevon Looney and Sean Livingston and Alphonso McKinney. The shot's just gone. It's just gone completely. I used to say it'd be good for one a game. Now it's just air balls. And he does give you the rebounding, etc. But the shot is gone. Sean Livingston is struggling. He's struggling because the Rockets are physical. He's struggling because his game is declining, but, you know, he's at this moment, he's one of their best bench players. So I wouldn't be surprised if we got some cameos tomorrow night, and that's something to look for, but who knows? I don't know if Steve will pull the trigger. And if he does, very short leashes for all of them. Very short leashes. But I'm keeping my eye on it. I think Jordan Bell for sure is going to get some minutes. I've been waffling on that, but I do think that it's going to happen. All right, we're going to take one last break, come back. I want to go over a little bit of injury news for the Dubs and then give you these scores from last night's games and wrap this thing up and get ready for Game 5. This is Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. What up, everybody? Welcome back to Locked On Warriors. I'm your host, Charles T. Hamilton. What's good? I mentioned Andre Iguodala with the hyperextended knee on what was, you know, kind of a dirty play from Chris Paul, at the very least unnecessary. But, you know, less athletic Patrick Beverley is going to do what he does, and that's what he did. So Andre is probable for tomorrow's game. Knowing Andre, he's going to play. We'll see how much less effective he might be because of it. But bottom line, he's going to play, and I'd rather have Andre than not. KD has kind of hyperextended his elbow 2 games ago when he was swiping down on PJ Tucker, who was going in for a layup, missed the ball and arms completely, and actually ended up hitting his thigh, which is like a twig hitting a tree trunk. And, you know, didn't have a big effect on him last game. He was still good. We'll see. I mean, he's going to play, no question. But see if that might affect his effectiveness. How about that? Affect his effectiveness. But as far as everyone else is concerned, just, you know, the fact that they're 90-plus games into the season and it's normal wear and tear. You know, you can wonder about Clay's ankle. Same with Steph's ankle and hand, but they're playing, so I don't have any excuses for him, man. Play better. A lot of people are hurt. In last night's games, the Toronto Raptors ended up smacking the Philadelphia 76ers 125-89. My goodness. Joel Embiid wasn't running around, sticking his tongue out, flying around or anything like that, man. Where's all that hubris now? And I know people are calling me a hater, whatever, man. People hate on Steph for shimmying and stuff like that. So when he doesn't play well, they get on him. So guess what I'm going to do? I'm going to get on Joel Embiid for going 5 of 10 and scoring 13 points and losing this game by 36. Kawhi Leonard is a monster. Pascal Siakam is a future superstar to the point where if Kawhi leaves, yeah, that would suck for the Raptors. But, like, honestly, you have Pascal Siakam, so you have a centerpiece moving forward. They are damn good, and they beat the Sixers by 36. J.J. Redick, Ben Simmons, and Joel Embiid combined for 23 whole points. American points. So the conversion rate since they played in Toronto is a little different. That probably comes out to, what, like 26 points in Canada? So that's better for them. Anyways, Toronto now leads that series 3-2. Wouldn't be surprised if the thing goes 7, but look, up 3-2, Kawhi's going to have that killer instinct and probably wrap this thing up. And in the Western Conference, the Nuggets also smacked the Portland Trail Blazers 124-98. Jokic was a beast, as we've seen throughout the entire series. He had 25 points, 19 rebounds, 6 of those offensive. He also had 6 assists to go with the points and rebounds. He's been a beast. He's been great. Jamal Murray was fine. He was solid. Ended 7-16 with 18 points. Paul Millsap put up 24 and also had 8 rebounds. The Nuggets, I don't know. This series has been weird. This series has been really weird. Not weird, it's just been back and forth. One team outplays the other by a lot, and then the next game, the other team outplays them by a lot. Nuggets are up 3-2 in this series, and I wouldn't be surprised if this thing goes 7. And also, this is part of why the Warriors have to beat the Rockets, because they will beat whichever team comes out, whether it's Portland or Denver, and handily, too. So, I mean, they just have to get by the Rockets because, man, this would be their easiest, one of their easiest matchups in the Western Conference Finals that they've ever faced. No disrespect to either team, but I've also noticed very little defense being played in this series, and the Warriors wouldn't mind seeing that. But that's looking ahead. Warriors have to get the win tonight, and then one more time also moving forward to wrap up this Houston series that is at 2-2, Game 5 this evening. Everyone check it out and come back tomorrow for another episode of Locked On Warriors on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You can't climb a mountain if it's smooth, right? You got to go over the rough spots. Peace.
You are Locked On Warriors, your daily podcast on the Golden State Warriors, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.